Chapter 3 Saturday, 7:51 a.m. Lucy scrambled to her feet and hauled Norma aside. The water moccasin charged, a black blur, churning through the water, slamming itself into the retaining wall, then ricocheting into the air. With blinding speed, it changed direction in mid-flight, using its powerful body to hurl itself at them once more. Norma plopped down into the water, her gray dress billowing, algae clinging to the folds, laughing. She splashed the water as if she wanted the snakes to attack her. Hallelujah! She grabbed Lucy's ankle, trying to pull Lucy back down into the water. Lucy lunged to one side, a snake's fangs whispering against her jeans, missing. Adrenaline jolted through Lucy, almost drowning out the sound of armed men swarming into the room, shouting, FBI! Hands! Hands! Down! Now! In her periphery, she saw her team taking the other five adults into custody. The women put up a fight. The men continued intoning prayers, not resisting. Least of her worries. The ledge the snakes called home completely encircled the bottom of the pool. Coiled, hissing, writhing mounds of rattlesnakes and copperheads greeted her as soon as she made a move in any direction. Norma wasn't helping. The woman scrambled for the snakes. Lucy had to haul her in with an arm around her waist. With her free hand, Lucy aimed her weapon at one writhing mass after another, despite the futility of trying to shoot the snakes. An instinct she couldn't suppress. Shit, shit, shit. How the hell had this happened? She reined in her internal monologue, fighting for control. Another water moccasin churned its way through the water, aiming at her, a deadly torpedo, but two more of its own kind intercepted it, the water frothing as the enraged snakes battled each other. A copperhead that had tumbled into the shallow water slithered across Lucy's boots. She forced herself to hold still, not agitate it, even as her flesh crawled and her finger tightened on her trigger guard. Denying every primal instinct carved into her DNA, she holstered her weapon. "Throw me some cuffs," she called to her team. A stady pinned his suspect, Walter, to the wall with one hand and threw her a pair of flex cuffs with his other. Lucy caught the cuffs and quickly restrained Norma. The woman still struggled, not attacking Lucy, just writhing and throwing her weight in one direction, then another, screaming incoherent words punctuated by the occasional, "Amen." "Everyone stay calm," she ordered. Tried to take her own advice, despite the adrenaline skipping stones across her nerve endings. The other snake handlers continued their praying, now droning Psalm 23. Lucy tuned them out. She really did not want to think about the Valley of Death. "What about using a taser?" Fletcher called from the edge of the pool. The ICE surveillance tech wasn't a field agent, but he was the only one volunteering any ideas on how to handle the snakes. "Stun them long enough for us to pull you out." "Won't work. The water will dissipate the energy." Norma suddenly dropped her weight, almost taking Lucy with her. Lucy hauled her to her feet once more. "You can't fight God's will," Walter called to Lucy as two stadies propelled him to the door, his words barely carried over the feverish buzzing the rattlers produced. "You must have some way to tranquilize the snakes." Lucy did not make any sudden movements, not with the space between her and safety carpeted with snakes. She held Norma in a bear hug, finally stilling the woman. That didn't stop a baby rattler from arching up, its body twanging like a wire sparking, fangs dripping venom as it quivered, debating. Lucy stared it down. Its hissing sang along her nerves until her own body hummed to the same tune. "Go away. Scat!" she told it in her best mommy voice, placing herself between it and Norma. "Snakes don't have ears," Fletcher told her, not so helpfully. Lucy didn't break her staring match with the reptile. Finally, it shook itself one last time and slid over its companions to another part of the ledge. "We prove ourselves to God by facing evil in its natural form," Walter's voice boomed through the small space. "We expect to be bitten. God will decide if we live or die." That's how we lost Norma's daughter. Through God's will. And God's will brought you and little Katie to us. Hate to tell you this, but little Katie is a mannequin, and if you don't help us out of here, you'll be charged with assault with a deadly weapon and attempted murder of a federal agent. Lucy was bluffing. She had no idea what charges the assistant U.S. attorney might file, if any. Federal prosecutors were notorious for wimping out on cases that weren't clear-cut. Lord knew this one qualified. What a clusterfuck. Her boss was going to laugh his ass off. He loved crazy batshit stories of ops gone wrong. Right after he ripped her a new one for not bringing home the bacon, his term for an airtight case that even a newbie AUSA couldn't fuck up, Grayley had no right to laugh. She'd only been here in Pittsburgh leading the new squad for 3 months, and in that time she'd brought home enough bacon for him to hold a barbecue. But Nick, how the hell was she going to explain this to him? Her leg shook. Just nerves. And a need to pee. Norma's weight, now slack in Lucy's arms, was getting heavy. We'll be judged by God's laws, not man's. Walter continued triumphantly, smirking at her predicament. Great. Big help that was. Lucy surveyed the situation, trying to clear her mind, focus. Her gaze skittered from the pipes on the walls, to the mounds of reptiles surrounding her, to the light reflected from the water. Water. Could they open the valves on the pipes, flood the snakes? A water moccasin swam towards her, not as aggressive as the first she'd encountered, but too close for comfort. She discarded her idea. It would take too long and probably just piss off the snakes. Fire. Too bad the FBI didn't issue flamethrowers as standard weapons. No, not fire. Ice. Hand me that fire extinguisher, she ordered one of her agents, pointing to the industrial-sized silver container hanging in the corner behind the door. He pulled it from its brackets. Looks pretty old, boss. He shook it. Feels like there's something left in it, though. Have someone gather the ones from the trucks in case we need more. He nodded and heaved the extinguisher across the empty air, separating their outstretched arms. Lucy caught it awkwardly with one hand. It was heavier than it looked. The area around them appeared fairly safe, most of the snakes fighting with each other. Norma was now quiet, muttering to herself. Lucy would have to risk that the woman wouldn't do something suicidal and agitate the snakes. She sat Norma down, straddling her to confine her movements as much as possible. "Careful with that, Lucy," Fletcher called. "You might just make them angry." "Not as angry as I am." She shook the extinguisher and peered at the faded instructions, hefted it and aimed the nozzle, pulled the trigger. Nothing. "Damn." She shook it more vigorously, wiping the nozzle against her jeans to clear any clogs. Aimed. This time she was rewarded with a spurt of liquid. The snakes recoiled angrily. The ones who took a direct hit convulsed and fell away from her, frost glittering their scales. The swoosh of the fire extinguisher mixed with the hiss and rattle of furious snakes. She splashed through the water, jostling the extinguisher from one side to the other, her fingers clutching the nozzle, burning with the cold. A cloud of white powder and smoke filled the air before her. Blinded snakes flung themselves at her, at each other, at the wall. Some sank their fangs into their own flesh. Others launched themselves at Lucy. The water churned with frenzied movement as Lucy fought to clear a path. Fletcher waited at the edge of the pool, watching anxiously. Two burly men joined him, one FBI and one state trooper, reaching their arms to her. The spray sputtered and died. She threw the extinguisher onto the concrete ledge. Turning back, she dragged Norma through the path to the ledge. The men hoisted her out of the water and onto dry land. They then reached for Lucy. Just as the stunned snakes began to stir, Lucy grabbed onto the men's arms and leapt. A snake tried to follow, landing on her boot with a heavy thud that rocked through her. She kicked it free and rolled onto the pool's edge, out of reach of the snakes. She sagged there for a moment, just long enough to cast her own quick prayer into the heavens, hoping he really wasn't a big fan of snakes, since she'd just freeze-dried a couple dozen of them. "You okay, Lucy?" Fletcher asked. "Did they bite you? Someone check Norma and get EMS." Lucy checked herself for injuries. Just a bruised left shoulder where she'd landed in the pool. No bites that she could find. Relief washed over her. "Did someone call animal control?" She flexed her fingers, numb from the CO2. "Probably got frostbite. Better than snake bite." The bad joke was the product of fear and adrenaline. She stalled for time, scraping her boot heels clean along the ledge, regaining control. "Hey, boss," one of the ICE agents called from the rear room. "You're gonna want to see this." Glad to have an excuse to move and work off her residual adrenaline, Lucy rushed past the pool to the room. It was decorated with everything a kid could want. Beanbag chairs, a Wii console, toys, stuffed animals, footballs, a mini basketball hoop. More swag than a Toys R Us. Huddled together on a twin-sized race car bed were two identical blonde boys, maybe 6 years old. They were scared and crying, terrified by the men with guns. Lucy scattered her people with a jerk of her chin. They backed away from the boys and watched from outside the open door. She smoothed a hand across her slime and hairspray shellacked hair, hoping she didn't look too scary, and knelt before the boys, her eyes level with theirs. "Hi, guys. I'm Lucy. What's your name?" One of them, the smaller by a hair, swallowed hard, then spoke up. "I'm Hank, and this is Teddy. Can we go home now?" "Sure you can. That's why we're here." She sat back on her heels, giving them space. "Do you know your last name? Can you tell me where home is?" "My dad is David Jankowski, and my mom is Nancy, and we live at 712 Pensacola Drive, Monroeville, Pennsylvania," he said, intoning the information in a sing-song. "Jankowski, that's the pediatric dentist on trial for fondling his patients," Fletcher told her from the doorway. "His kids were kidnapped 4 months ago, taken from the wife while she was grocery shopping." Even though it was before her arrival in Pittsburgh, Lucy knew the case. Her second-in-command, Isaac Walden, had been working with the Monroeville PD and Allegheny County Sheriff on it. So far they'd had no leads, just frustration and a media frenzy. She smiled at the boys. "We're going to call your mommy right away. I think she'll be very happy to see you." Hank nodded, sniffing hard, being a big boy and not crying. Teddy did the same, but his tears escaped. Walter said their church was actively recruiting, Lucy told Fletcher as they walked out to the parking lot, leaving the evidence recovery techs to their business. Child Services was on the way to pick up the twins, who were being treated by the state troopers to law enforcement's universal anecdote, orange juice and Snickers bars. "You sure you're okay?" Fletcher asked. The ICE surveillance tech looked like he'd been the one almost killed. His glasses were askew, shirt half untucked, face flushed and sweaty. "Where the heck do you think they got all those snakes from?" Setting up the boutique online child modeling agency as part of Operation Honeypot had been Fletcher's idea. So far, they'd nabbed several U.S. nationals trafficking for sex with minors as well as drawing Canadians across the border, hence the need for immigration and customs enforcement on the task force. As a lowly GS-06 civilian tech, not even a full-fledged ICE agent, Fletcher was flushed with pride at the operation's success. Lucy already had to turn down his request to play a more active field role when their next group of sex tourists arrived tomorrow. Worse than telling a kid he wasn't allowed to go trick-or-treating. He trailed after her as Lucy walked to his SUV, now double-parked 10 feet away from the van where Katie slept. She opened the rear of the Blazer and sat down on the running board, her legs wobbly, adrenaline finally abandoning her. With trembling fingers, she retrieved her wedding ring. She brushed it against her lips. Her pulse finally calmed as she slid it back where it belonged. She reached for her bag, grabbed a water bottle, and took a deep gulp, spilling water down her shirt and not caring. Then she emptied the muck from her boots and checked her arms and legs again for bite marks. She'd seen guys shot and not know it because of the masking effects of adrenaline. Nothing. She wiggled her bare toes in the sun, soaking up the heat. The thought of trying to explain a rattlesnake bite to her husband, Nick, made her wince, although it might finally get her back on Megan's cool list. a welcome change from the cold shoulder her 12-year-old had been giving her lately. "I can't wait to get my hands on their computer, see what else they've been up to." Fletcher prattled as he packed up his surveillance equipment. "Oh, by the way, your cell phone has been going nuts." He handed her the cell, and she glanced at the missed calls. All from Megan, along with texts asking if they were going to be late for the doctor's appointment. Damn it. She hated leaving, but really all that needed done here was paperwork and documentation. Nothing Lucy needed to stay for. In fact, if she wasn't the only woman on her squad rated for UC work, she wouldn't be here on a Saturday at all. She'd be home and looking forward to getting back to work on Monday to shuffle paperwork and review reports. Still hadn't gotten used to that part of being promoted. She wasn't sure she ever would. She loved being in the field. Used to be she always told fellow agents that supervisory special agents never made arrests, just supervised and took all the credit. Now that she held the rank and had her own team, she was trying to find a way to lead from the front lines and still get all the administrative work done. As always, she wanted it all. Usually she figured out a way to get it. Fletcher reappeared, a key ring in his hand. "The van needs to go back. Why don't you take it?" Still, she hesitated. Men and women carrying guns and displaying a variety of law enforcement insignia bustled around the parking lot in an efficiently choreographed mob. The FBI's Sexual Assault Felony Enforcement Squad was multi-jurisdictional. ICE agents mingled with their own FBI team. There were several stateies as well. Back at the office, they shared space with the High-Tech Computer Crime Task Force, Operation Predator, the Innocent Images Initiative, and even had a few postal inspectors and IRS agents working with them. To some, it might seem like a motley crew, seasoned street operators working side by side with computer geeks like Fletcher. But it was her crew, and she hated to leave them with the job unfinished. Of course, with this job, there was never any finishing, something Nick was constantly reminding her of. But she'd only been here 3 months, charged with setting up and running the FBI's newest safe unit, and she hadn't yet figured out where to draw the line. Nick had. That was for sure. After a month of not seeing her unless she woke him as she climbed into bed at night, he'd insisted that she establish some kind of routine so that she could spend time with him and Megan. Which sounded great, unless you were the parent who was constantly delinquent. She glanced at the state trooper's vehicle where the twins beamed as they tried on smoky bear hats 18 sizes too big for them. The breeze carried their burble of laughter. She smiled. "Let the stateies take credit on this one," she told Fletcher. "I'll make it up to Walden. Clear it with Grayley." Fletcher's frown let her know he didn't appreciate her generosity. Or more likely, he didn't think his boss would. Tough. This morning, she was enjoying being one of the good guys. Her phone rang. She glanced at the caller ID. Megan. Sigh. Even if her preteen didn't always see her that way. "Call me if you need me," she told Fletcher, heading toward the van with the mannequin in the back seat. She flipped her phone open. "Hey, sweetie, I hear you're not feeling well. If you're too busy, I can call Dad. Again," Megan said. Somehow, the 12-year-old's tone managed to carry more disapproval than a Taliban watching a striptease. "No, it's fine. I'll be there in 20 minutes. Thank God the operation was on the right side of the Fort Pitt Tunnel, and there'd be no traffic on a Saturday morning. The doctor said he has to leave for the hospital by 9:30. "I know, Megan. I'll get you there. I promise." Silence. "Did you take some ibuprofen? That will help you feel better." "Yeah, Dad told me to take some, and to drink lots of fluids." "Good." Lucy started the van and pulled away from her team, resisting the urge to go back and remind them that they had another meet set for tomorrow. This one was in a motel, so no room for snakes. At least she hoped not. She shuddered, told herself it was the AC. "I'll be there soon. When we lived in Virginia, I never got sick." Lucy tightened her grip on the wheel. Bad enough she had the powers that be in the bureau judging her every move, she really didn't need it coming from her 12-year-old daughter. "Think of it as building up your immune system," Megan grunted in reply. "Well, if you're really sick, I can call your gram to come watch you." One of the few perks of moving to Pittsburgh was that Lucy's mother was only 40 minutes away in Latrobe. Megan used to love spending time with her Gram, but not since adolescence had gotten a stranglehold on her. Now family was so boring. "Whatever," Megan said, and hung up. Lucy tossed the phone aside and hit the gas pedal. Maybe the stress of moving and starting a new school, making the soccer team, was too much for Megan. One more thing to feel guilty about. As if trying to juggle a career and her family weren't enough already. Way she figured it, every kid she rescued here at work put another penny in the karma bank, saving up to protect Megan. That was some consolation for time spent away from her family. Not that she could ever explain that to Nick or Megan. She glanced in the rear view, caught the mannequin's eye, and winked. Let's not tell her about the snakes. Okay, Katie Mae?